What's up, my friends? It's Rick Mulready here. Listen, if you are feeling like you're struggling to keep up with all the AI opportunities, or maybe you're wondering how to even start leveraging AI in your business without all the headaches, the AIify newsletter is designed with you in mind, my friend. Every week, I simplify AI for you, showing you how to apply it and integrate it into your business so that you can work less and profit more. As one of my readers put it, it's a must-have for any entrepreneur who wants to get more done in less time. And they said there's a lot of noise out there and your information is up to date, yet just feels more calm and more relatable. So I want to invite you to sign up for the AIify newsletter. It's free. Just go to rickmulready.com/newsletter. That's rickmulready.com/newsletter.
Honestly, if I didn't want to work, I wouldn't have to. That's the beauty of it. And the beauty of passive income is if I just decided I'm going to do 5 hours year round, it'd be fine. Like nothing would happen. I'm just trying to improve my business and my site, which is why sometimes I work a lot, but it's really not necessary, which is an amazing thing.
What's up, my friends? Rick Mulready here. Welcome to the Art of Online Business podcast. Really excited about today's episode, because if you think this whole notion of passive income is a farce, is not possible, is, it's something that other people can do, but not you, this episode's going to be for you. If you've wanted to add a side project to your already existing business that maybe your team can work on in the different times in their schedule, maybe when they have some free time, and create an asset for you that can generate revenue, this episode's going to be for you. I'm really excited to welcome Kristen Haynes to the podcast here. She's one of my Accelerator coaching members, and she owns the website, thewaywardhome.com. And when she joined Accelerator, or when she applied for Accelerator, she was a referral from one of our members. And I met Kristen, so we started chatting, and she said, I was asking her about revenue and how she generates it and all this other stuff. And she's like, we generate, I'm not going to give it away right now because it's a lot. And she talks about it. And she's like, we generate multiple five figures from my website just on ad revenue and affiliates. And I was like, wait a minute. What? You're generating that much money per month from your website? And you're not selling a course or anything like that. And she's like, no, like that's what we do. And I was like, that's amazing. And the whole reason that she joined Accelerator is because she wanted to add another revenue stream to the business, and she wasn't sure what to do. And we talk all about that, the whole process here in the episode here today. But Kristen has created this amazing website that creates truly passive income every single month. And she and her partner, Tom, they live full time, as you're going to hear, in a van for part of the year. And they live on a sailboat the other part of the year. And with knowing that, I want to apologize up front. We do have some technical difficulties during the interview here today. Our editors try their best to get, you know, cleaned up as much as possible. But she's literally pulled over on the side of the road doing the interview because she's a nomad. You know, they live out of their van and they also live out of a sailboat. And I wanted to share this with you because this is possible. Creating an asset that can generate revenue for you, you know, on a passive basis. Yes, there's work that goes in, but the idea is it's generating revenue even when you're not working on it. And that's why I want to bring Kristen on here today. And I'm really excited to welcome Kristen Haynes to the podcast. So without further ado, let's go hang out with Kristen and talk about niche websites. So you are sitting in your RV right now, pulled off the freeway, like you're right in Southern California here, right? You're pulled off the freeway.
Yeah.
And you are connected through what? Starlink
satellite internet. So there's a huge dish outside my van pointed north that I'm hoping isn't going to cut out during this call. And I'm in a parking lot on the side of the road. So yeah, very glamorous.
Amazing. It sounds like something out of like the Terminator.
I know.
Through Starlink.
I know. That's through satellites orbiting. I mean, it's amazing. It's amazing technology.
But this is what you do. This is your life. Like you you and your partner live in an RV.
Yeah, we live in this van I'm in right now and on a sailboat, and we travel around and stop when we need to connect to internet and work, and also do a lot of playing and fun things too. So yeah, it's a very unique, always changing lifestyle.
How did you, because I could never do this. Like first of all, my wife and I would never be able to live in such a small space together. But how did you get into this?
Well, it's kind of a funny story, and it all started in 2015 when I'd only known my partner, Tom, for 6 months. And he had a wild idea that he wanted to move into his Prius. And we're living in San Francisco in a shared like housing situation.
Wait.
And
that's how move yeah. into his Prius?
Yes, his Prius.
Like intentionally.
Intentionally.
Okay, cool. Okay.
Because we both had good jobs, full-time jobs. And he just had this idea, like, I don't want to pay rent. Like in San Francisco, I mean, you can spend $30,000, $40,000 a year in rent. So his idea was, I'm going to try to live really tiny. I'm going to buy a sailboat with cash. I'm going to move into my Prius. I'm going to buck the system. And I thought he was nuts. I'm like, there's no way I'm going to do that, you know?
Yeah.
But I started joining him. I still had my house, and I would start joining him in the Prius, and we were camping. I was like, this is kind of fun. You know, I'm a backpacker. I'm a camper at heart. And I liked it. I'm like, why am I paying rent? And so I moved with him into his Prius. And that was kind of our initial journey into tiny living in 2015. It was 4 months long. It was short, but it was, you know, I guess I found out I really liked him during that time. So.
I would hope so. That's like, that is like the fastest way to figure out if you like somebody.
It sure is. Yeah.
So
that's what I began.
Wait, how did that work? Both of you were living in the Prius?
Yes, but we'd go to work during the day. So we had our full-time jobs in San Francisco.
Okay.
And we'd go to the gym, and that's where we would shower and we'd work out. And they had really nice, we joined a very fancy gym and they'd had free coffee in the morning. So we spent a lot of time at the gym. And then we had a storage unit that we would play music in, jamming, like drumming and guitar. And then we'd sleep in the Prius. So we weren't just like in the Prius all the time.
Right.
It was kind of like our bed only. So
yeah,
it was unique.
Did you have to be in like certain, like, did you have to go to like, you know, like Walmart parking lots or something like that where that's, or how did you, I'm just curious, how does that work?
Yeah, we went everywhere from local campgrounds to sleeping in like a marina parking lot to there's a beautiful rest stop that overlooked San Francisco. We slept in there, and we slept in my work parking lot. I was working at KGO Radio. They had a gated parking lot, and I would just swipe my card and we'd go sleep in there, and nobody ever knew.
Nice.
Yeah.
So when did you start the Wayward Home?
So that was in 2017. So I was laid off from my job at KGO in 2016 and had to figure out what to do for money. Cause once you're, you know, a radio news journalist, like, well, what do I do now? It's not like you have a skill set that's super marketable. And so that was a challenge figuring out what to do.
So what made you, did you start documenting what you were doing? Like what was the impetus behind starting it?
Yeah. So what I noticed since I was in the news media and I was reading articles that kept popping up on major news outlets about people living alternatively. This was back in 2016, 2017, kind of before it was more mainstream. And I was seeing these articles pop up, and they were very popular because there's always been, you know, a housing crisis in San Francisco. And so I started to see the popularity of these. And I was like, well, why doesn't someone, you know, me, create a website where I would tell these people's stories? So it started out with me interviewing people about their journey into tiny living, like vans, RVs, sailboats. So I wanted to tell their stories. And then I had a local newspaper in town where I had connections, and they started republishing those stories, which got me a lot of traffic and backlinks initially. So that's kind of how that started.
What was the intention behind it? Like, because I mean, we're going to get into how much, you know, you generate from it and all this stuff, but was it just sort of like a passion project, or did you see potential for generating revenue through it?
I definitely wanted to generate revenue because I had read an article about a woman, Michelle Schroeder Gardner, of Making Sense of Sense. And I read that she made $100,000 a month on a personal finance blog, and she lived in an RV. She later purchased a sailboat and a van. But I was like, oh my gosh, blogs can make money. I'm going to do that. And so I decided that's what I was going to do. And that's why I started the Wayward Home, is to try to generate it into an income machine for myself. You know, so I didn't know what I was doing at first, but that was definitely the goal.
So talk about that. You did know what you were doing. You've created the waywardhome.com where you're talking about what you're doing, documenting what you're doing, van life. How did you teach yourself? Like what went into that?
Yeah, so I initially purchased a big blogging course. It was an $800 course, and I was living on unemployment. You know, I'd lost my job. I was hardly making any money living in the Bay Area. But I'm like, if I'm going to learn this, I have to take classes. You know, there's no way that I'm going to teach myself. It was called Elite Blog Academy. And I was so excited on that day to start taking that course and to learn about how to create a money-making blog. So that was the first step. And that was only about a month after I started the site, because I knew like I needed help. I had no idea what an online business even was, or what a blog or a niche site was. I knew nothing. It came from total scratch.
So this is one of those, I feel like this is one of those topics that a lot of people hear about and they're like, oh, this will never work for me. Like this isn't possible when it comes to a niche site generating really good revenue.
Mm-hmm.
What would you, how long did it take you to get to a point where it was generating like some decent revenue?
Well, what's funny is, so 6 months after I started the site, a company reached out to me called Four Wheel Campers, and they said, I want to put an ad on your homepage. And I was like, I charged them $500, and that was thrilling. And so that's when it started making a little bit of revenue. I got on a major ad network called Mediavine. Within 6 months, I knew, you know, that was my goal. I needed to get traffic. I needed to get on this ad network. And once I got on that network, things just started going up and up and up, because that's how I based my business on, is I wanted page views, I wanted ad revenue. And that was my goal from the very beginning. And so I made that happen, you know, relatively quickly, just taking these classes and learning as much as possible. So I do think anybody can do it, because I knew nothing. So it's possible.
And generating, you know, money within 6 months from a site. Now, that was a few years ago. Is it still possible today?
I think it is, definitely. Yeah, because I just started another niche site in January just to test some of my theories that I've learned. Yeah. And it's already getting traffic. It's already getting clicks out to like affiliates. It's not, it hasn't made money yet, but it is getting those clicks. And so I'm seeing that progression of like, yes, this could make money, definitely. And so that's really, you know, encouraging news.
Well, it's only February 23rd, the day we're recording this. So it's only been like, what, like 4 weeks or 5 weeks that you've had this now?
Yes, exactly. And it's already getting Google traffic. And I'm just floored. If you do pick the right niche and know how to do keyword research, which I actually did not know how to do on the Wayward Home for a long time, you can like get a head start with this stuff.
Do you have to be, so I want to kind of, like, how much traffic were you getting after 6 months on the Wayward Home, such that you had an advertiser reach out to you and they were probably like, holy cow, I'll pay you $500 if that's all you're going to charge me. But then you started to get, you know, Mediavine and the ad network. How much traffic were you getting at that point?
So to get in Mediavine at that point, you needed 25,000 sessions a month. And so that was my goal. And most of that came from Pinterest at the time. I learned how to market on Pinterest, which I absolutely like hated, but I did it. And posting in Facebook groups, none of it was SEO, or it was SEO by accident. And but I did get that traffic, that 25,000 a month to qualify for Mediavine. And so, yeah, I made the goal.
And then, so that was, what, when was that? That was, it was that 20, you said 2017?
That was 2018 when I got on Mediavine. So about 6 months later. Yeah.
Okay. So like 4 years ago ish. Talk about what the site has been doing since, in the past 4 years.
Yeah. So since then, I decided to learn about SEO, search engine optimization, getting rankings on Google. And so I took a course, and it was a really, you know, challenging course. It took a lot of time and it was very in depth, but I implemented it. And after doing that, I think that was either in early 2018 or 19. I can't remember which year, but once I started doing SEO, my traffic just skyrocketed and went way up. It soared after that. And in the 6 months after I did that course and started implementing SEO, and that's when I really saw things start to improve. But I did get hit with a Google update, which is something else that happens, and that like destroyed the traffic. But I just kept doing SEO and I kept at it, and it's doing really well, and it has been doing well for a long time. And so I attribute it to that course I took and knowing SEO. And I wish I had known, you know, right off the bat, but you know, it's all a learning curve. So
what are the types of things that you're doing? And I want to talk about like how much traffic you're getting now, if you're open to sharing like how much you're generating now. More about like, you know, when the Google slap comes, not really slap, but like an update comes that messes with your traffic. Like, I want to talk more about that too, but like, is it just as quote unquote simple as continuing to add the right kind of content to the site?
Yeah,
based to on adding your keyword research. Yeah.
Correct. Yeah. And it's also based on what I would look at is what is Google ranking? So I had several areas on my site. I have a van life, an RV, a tiny home, and a sailboat or boat life category. Mm-hmm. And I started to look closer at like, what is Google ranking quickly? What is Google putting on the page? And how can I write more similar content to what they are seeing me as an expert in? And so I kind of choose to kind of follow Google's lead a little bit. And so I stopped publishing boating articles because I just wasn't ranking for those, getting traffic for those. And I focused on all the other, you know, categories. And since I started doing that and looking for keywords that other people weren't really writing articles on, that's what really launched my site up and on Google and first page of Google for many articles.
So what kind of traffic are you getting now? The beginning of 2023?
Yeah. So now is my slowest time of year, but I'm getting around 300,000 page views a month. And that usually goes up in the summer, probably more five to 600 range. But in the winter, it's more around the 300 range. Wow. So yeah, doing pretty well. And I'm still targeting more keywords and hoping to get even more traffic. That's the goal.
And so it's just, you're just continuing to add to it.
Yeah. So I just keep on targeting new keywords. I have writers and they target new keywords and I update old articles all the time and I assign those to writers and I notice they go up immediately onto the first page of Google after I update those. So that's the current strategy to get even more traffic to the site.
To keep updating articles.
Yeah. Updating old articles is very important while adding new articles too. So Google likes to see that you're constantly refreshing your content and working on your site and making it better.
Okay. Well, how do you know like which articles to be updating?
Yeah. So I use a tool called Ahrefs and I can select, you can use a variety of, you know, different views on there to see which keywords are falling in rankings. Mm-hmm. And so I will use that tool and I look and see if an article fell like to the second page of Google, a few changes and a few updates will put it back on the first page pretty reliably. And so I'll focus on those. And that's another way to just keep the traffic going.
Is a tool like that telling you what they recommend, what it recommends in order to get back on the first page?
Nope, not at all. Not at all. That's just something that I have to look at and analyze and think, how can I make this better? Because in the meantime, other people have come out with similar blogs and they're writing these articles. And sometimes they're copying my articles, not copying word for word, but definitely my topics. And I'm like, well, how can I get my topic back on top of their topic that they copied from me in the first place? A lot of it is that.
that's part of the game that you're playing.
It's a big game. Yeah.
Gotcha. Okay. So what kind of revenue are you, and I know that this is kind of the quote slow time of the year, but with that kind of traffic, 300,000-ish during the winter months up to 500,000 to 600,000 in the summer months, what kind of traffic are you looking at? All right. What kind of revenue are you looking at?
Yeah. So this is also my lowest ad network time of year because the RPMs are way lower. Advertisers take a huge break after the fourth quarter and the RPMs are cut way down. But that being said, still last month, 12,000 in ad revenue. And then if you put, you know, about 4,000 on affiliates on top of that, so that was maybe $16,000 a month. This month, the ad revenue just goes up and up and up through summer. So this month will probably be more like 14,000 or 15,000 in ad revenue. So maybe 20,000 around now. And I'm hoping my revenue will be pushed up to the more $30,000 range this summer when the ad network RPMs are at their highest. So it's kind of a cyclical thing where they go down in winter and back up in summer.
So people are listening right now saying, holy cow, 30 grand a month from this website. How much time are you actually spending on it on, say, a weekly basis?
That varies greatly. Also, my work is very cyclical, just like the ad revenue, but there'll be some weeks where I will work, you know, maybe 30, 40 hours on my business, not necessarily just the site, but all aspects of the business. And then there's times where I'm working like 5 hours a week. And so it's like, it'll be like 3 months of 5 hours a week and a few months of maybe, you know, 30 hours a week. So it really moves around quite a bit depending on what I'm doing and if I'm on my sailboat and, you know, but if, you know, honestly, if I didn't want to work, I wouldn't have to. That's the beauty of it. And the beauty of passive income is if I just decided I'm going to do 5 hours year round, it'd be fine. Like nothing would happen. I'm just trying to improve my business and my site, which is why sometimes I work a lot, but it's really not necessary, which is an amazing thing. So
you're basically choosing, it sounds like this is the type of business that you've set up. It's like, I I get to choose how much or as little as I want to work. Is that about right?
Exactly. And that's how I wanted it to be. Yeah, I wanted it to be very passive. I wanted a team of people, writers, and an assistant so that the business would chug along regardless of whether I wanted to work or not. And so I pretty much removed myself from the equation. I still do the keyword research and create the content briefs for the writers. But aside from that, it's pretty hands-off. And that's how I designed it. And yeah, just when I worked longer days, I want to be working on a project or something, you sure. know, related to the business.
So I want to hear what your process is. And then also I'd love to get your thoughts and your vantage point on AI and how it's affecting all of this and so forth. Before we hit there, you created a course. And so I want to talk about that real quick. Cause when you joined Accelerator, the big reason was like, I want to create another stream of income. That's not, you know, that's outside of the advertising revenue come from the traffic. And I think we pretty quickly got to, why don't you teach people what you're doing? Why don't you teach people how you've gotten to what you are doing right now? Because, and I told you, I said, I will be the first person to buy your course.
So, yes, I know.
So talk about that process a little bit because you did it really quickly. And mm-hmm. you went through the normal process that I teach is like, all right, let's not create anything until you validate it. So talk about that process just a little bit so that people could kind of hear like, all right, you didn't have a course and you're like, all right, what do I create here?
Yeah. This whole thing was pretty much a whirlwind for me and also amazing because I had no idea I could create a course on niche sites. Like I didn't think I knew anything about it. You know, you're always thinking you don't know anything because you have these gurus that I learn from all the time. And I'm like, they're the ones that know about it. I'm going to refer people to them. And you were like, well, you obviously know about it. You've created this whole system and you walked me through those steps. And it was very interesting for me to see based on that, I do have this knowledge base that I can create a course on. So that was kind of, you know, an amazing first call with you. And then when you said to pre-sell it, I was like, what? Like people do that? Like, that's the scariest thing I've ever heard. Like nobody's going to buy this thing. You know, it's no way. But, you know, so I had that in mind. I created this outline and someone else within Accelerator, Neil, she helped me figure out that you need to create that outline in one day. Cause I was telling her I'm going to do this in 3 months. And she's like, what are you talking about? You know, everything already. So with you and her telling me these things, I was able to get the outline done in about 3 days and you helped me with the sales emails to my audience. And I thought nobody would buy this thing. And I was just floored by the response. You know, I thought two people might buy it. So
how many people did buy it?
53
people.
And yeah. And you told me that, you know, validating, you look at around 50 and I was like, there's no way I'm going to get 50. Nope. Sold 50 in 5 days of email sequences. And I was just, you know, super shocked. And that was an amazing experience. I was like, time to create the course.
So you sold 50 courses within the first 5 days. You sold a few since then, but you really haven't been promoting it a whole lot since then also. So what do you teach in the course?
Yeah. So the course is like everything, like the total basics of someone who wants to create a niche website that they can, you know, get passive income from. Yeah. And, you know, I wanted to teach someone everything that I didn't know in the beginning that would have made my site successful, probably even faster, which is choosing a profitable niche. I walk people through exactly how to, you know, validate and choose a niche that will be profitable and can rank on Google, which is very important. And also, you know, how to do keyword research, how to find the keywords that your site will rank for, and how to write for the internet. Because a lot of people don't know how to write a blog post, how to create headings. And so I'd have a whole section on that. And even setting up the site, which is my least favorite thing to do ever. I have a tutorial on how I could set up a very basic site with someone who hates doing that. And so, and you know, everything, monetization, affiliates, everything that you need to get that site ready for that Google traffic and choosing the correct keywords. So that's what it's all about.
So do you have your promise of the course in front of you?
You know, I wish I did. You know, I could probably grab it really quick. But yeah, I know you helped me work on this promise, which...
Yeah, so go ahead and pull that up if you don't mind. So, and while you're doing that, you do have it? Go ahead.
I have it. I found
it. It's really good.
At the end of this course, you'll have a brand new niche website optimized for traffic, ads, and affiliate revenue for long-term passive income you can make anywhere. That's the promise. Boom. And so, you helped me with that. And that was really fun to think about and word that and get that out there to people.
This is, so for everybody listening, like having that promise. So read that again, Kristen, because it's really clear. It's a little bit long. And we knew that. However, there's no question mark about what this course is and what the changes that you're going to go through as you from when you start the course till the end, this is the change that's going to happen. So can you read that again?
Yeah. At the end of this course, you'll have a brand new niche website optimized for traffic, ads, and affiliate revenue for long-term passive income you can make anywhere.
Like amazing. Amazing. Yeah. It also really, what I also love about that is at the very end, like you can make from anywhere. That's really speaking to your specific audience.
Right.
Right. Because people are going to see that and they're going to say, well, wait a minute. I don't live in a van or I don't live in a sailboat or is this for me? And so it's like, well, yes. Like,
yeah.
If you already have a business and you want to add something on the side as a project, like this, you follow the steps, this can work for you.
Yeah, it's basically built for anyone. And I put that on there just, as you said, to cater to my audience and to help my audience realize that, as a nomad, this is a great business. But of course, it's a great business for anybody who just wants to create passive income. I mean, it's a phenomenal business. I can't even believe I am doing it still. I have to pinch myself. I'm like, this is working? This is amazing. So anybody could do it.
It's so fun because this is like, I look at this and like, this is a really fun project to add to the business. And this is what I'm going to do this myself. And, and I got this from one of my mentors, James Schramko, and he calls it like a forever project. And so you create a forever project for your team so that when they're not busy, like if you have full-time, if they're not busy, they're working on this forever project. And so a niche site is a perfect example of something that can be a quote forever project that they can be working on. If they're like, oh, okay, I have free time now, they can go work on this.
Yeah, I totally agree. And what some people do for niche websites is, put up 30 articles or something and just wait for them to start ranking, check Google Search Console, see which keywords are starting to get ranked. And like, so you don't have to like tend to it constantly. You can put articles up and wait. You can let it go on the back burner for a while. Like it's okay. It's not going to just crash and burn. It'll likely just keep on gaining keywords as long as you do work on it, but it doesn't have to be daily. It doesn't have to be a huge grind. Yeah. And so that's something that I am going to do on my new niche site is I'm going to put up probably 30 and I'm going to wait a little while and see what happens while, researching topics, but just, sit on it for a bit and see how it's going.
So when you put up 30 articles, are you putting them up all at once or are you kind of like spreading them out? How does that work?
Yeah, I'm spreading them out because I also hired writers for this just to expedite the process. So it's just depending on when they turn it in, when I have the time to upload it and format it and stuff. So yeah, it's a little bit, it's dripped out, but right now it does have about 12 articles on it. So I'm making my way there.
Okay. And you said it's already ranking.
It's already ranking.
For
it's already
some keywords.
Yeah, it's gotten like 80 clicks in the last few weeks and it's ranking for hundreds of keywords. So this is good news.
So, well, I want to give the link to, if that's cool, I want to give the link to your course. How much is the course, by the way?
So it is $197 right now. So,
$197, very inexpensive. Why did you price it so inexpensively?
Yeah. So I wanted to help nomads like me because I knew in the beginning, like I did not have much money, but I paid for an $800 course. And, while that course did help me, it did not give me any SEO training or really the ability to rank and get Google traffic. And I was like, I wish I could have paid for a more affordable course, like a $197 course at that time. And a lot of nomads don't have a ton of money, at least the ones that I interact with. They're trying to get ahead. They're trying to create passive income to achieve their dream. And I want to help them do that without having them need to spend a ton of money. So I'm really wanting to help my fellow nomads, create businesses and be able to explore the world and achieve their dreams. And so that's why I kept it at a more affordable price point.
Yeah, amazing. $197. It's thewaywardhome.com/course.
Yes.
The wayward correct. home accelerator.com/course. And I'll link it up in the show notes for the episode here today. But I love that you want to make this as accessible as possible. And again, it's not just for, you know, nomads, or it's like I said, I was one of the first people who jumped in on this. And I told another person the other day, Neil, actually, you know, in Accelerate, she's like, send me the link. I want this. This is amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. So anybody can, even if you have a small, you know, business and want to get traffic to your site, like, and I had a woman buy it that wants to help market her book. And I'm like, if you write these blog posts in your niche, you get more traffic. You can sell more books. Like really anyone can benefit from learning keyword research, SEO, any business can, you know, benefit from that. So it can help a lot of people.
So when it comes to SEO, what are some, like, you know, it used to be that We were just told, you know, like it, we were just told, like it was a known thing or a given thing that it was just like, all right, just use these SEO plugins on your WordPress site and you're good to go. Like you're good to go from an SEO perspective. But more recently, I say more recently, the past few years, like it's like, no, that's not the case. Where do you fall with that?
Yeah. So I use Yoast, and that's a plugin, and I do use it, but I use it as a very loose guide. I think that it is really cool and helpful if you already have your keywords selected, if you already know what is page SEO, what components do you need to have in your article? You know how to write a blog post. If you input the keyword into that plugin, they'll give you some little tips like, oh, more of your images need alt tags with the keyword. More of your headings need, maybe add the keyword a few more times, but you have to know your keyword first or else it makes no sense. So I do use it, but I just use it to make sure that I hit that keyword often enough. It's very a basic guide. I would never rely on it. Just a little helping hand on the side. So
gotcha. Okay. Mm-hmm. So another question that comes up a lot when that people are thinking about with this sort of thing is like, what is the ongoing cost to be able to create niche sites?
So a lot of that depends on if a person wants to hire writers or not. If you're doing all of it alone, of course, the cost is going to be very low. But I tend to pay writers between $100 and $300 an article. So some of my biggest costs are to contractors. So I have, you know, writers, I have two virtual assistants, and they're definitely my, you know, biggest expense, you know, maybe $5,000 a month or more in these writers, but they're the reason why I'm making so much money is, you know, they're excellent writers. Sure. But if you don't have writers, all you're going to have to pay for is, you know, your hosting and your domain and maybe a keyword research tool. There's cheaper ones, there's more expensive ones, but you could be, you know, running a niche site for, you know, a couple hundred bucks a month, really, you know, if you're keeping it pretty, you know, hands off, you know, you're doing most of the work, you know, in that really scenario, but really inexpensive. Yeah.
Where do you find the right? So with your, like, what is your process? So you obviously you've been running your site for a while and you've really dialed in this. And by the way, this is the process that you teach in the course.
Correct. Yeah, so exactly.
What is the process?
So I start out by finding a low, you know, I could rank for higher competition keywords because I have a good DA now. My domain authority is around 50, which is really good, but I still like finding keywords nobody else is writing about because instead of competing, I prefer to come up with my own topics and articles. So I'll look, I usually use Ahrefs and I find keywords through there and I use Google to verify that keyword and see who else is writing articles on that topic. And if it looks like not many people are writing about it, I love it. Like this is going to be my topic and my keyword. So I plug that into Surfer SEO. That creates a content brief for a writer. And I write a headline on there that I want used. And I'll sometimes type notes right in there. Like this is a listicle. You're going to select 8 best RVs with a washing machine, you know, or whatever the topic is.
And
I put it in a spreadsheet for them. They write the thing perfectly for SEO. They're amazing. And my VA in the Philippines uploads the articles and adds them to WordPress and publishes them. And so this, you know, assigning these articles would probably take me an hour a month, maybe. And then everything else is hands off with the writers and the virtual assistant. But I have really good people and good writers that I trust. And that's the only reason this is possible.
So that's it. It begs that question. Where do you find the writers?
Yeah.
So you don't have to give away your secret, you know, like, but where do we find writers that understand what we're doing here?
So I found two writers on ProBlogger. They have a job board. And so you pay like $75 to post an ad on ProBlogger and I'll make sure that they have experience in what I want. And so I hired some really good writers through there. And then the other ones have actually been referrals. So I have, you know, a tiny house writer that was through the tiny house, you know, a friend of mine who lives in a house and has a website. I asked her. And then, you know, someone else was a sailor. And so I just have found them through my network, but ProBlogger is highly recommended. I found some really good people on there.
Do they have to specialize in, or do they have to have knowledge of your niche?
Yes, definitely.
They do. That,
Mm-hmm. I have very specific writers, like the van life writers. They live in vans. You know, they have these experiences. I put their bylines on my blog and I put, you know, their bios and their photos and stuff. So they need to be living the life. And so, and I love to support nomads as well. So I do have people niched out into those different categories on my site. And those are my writers.
Got it. That makes sense. You said they're about, it's about $100 to $300 per article. Is that you said?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Somewhere around there. Yeah. Yeah. Most of them I pay 10 cents per word. And so that depends on the length of the article.
Okay. So now it begs the question. AI. I'm in an AI mastermind. And at the time recording this, I just had one of our weekly calls yesterday. And somebody was talking about how to, like, the type of prompt that one could put into ChatGPT that is based on a keyword. And I was like, that is brilliant. I like copied it. So I have it. And I was like, that's really smart. Now, what is your thought? And by the way, I don't want to go off on a tangent, but I saw an email yesterday from somebody that said all this talk in the online space about AI, and I'm going to not talk about AI because I want, you know, we're all about personal touch and, you know, person to person and all this other stuff. And it's just like missing the point, right? This is the way that I look at this is not replacing person to person. It's giving us the opportunity to expedite some things that we do. Is this an area that we can leverage AI for niche sites? And what I'm also not saying is take whatever that ChatGPT spits out or some other tool, copy, paste, done. I'm not saying that. Mm-hmm. So what are your, I'd love to hear your thoughts on this.
Yeah. So I think it can be very beneficial for niche sites, for people that do want to expedite the process, especially with maybe getting article ideas or article outlines or, you know, things like that, that don't require the actual writing. Because I've experimented with AI over the years with the first one, which I think was Jasper. And that was maybe, you know, a year and a half ago. And I did not like what it was writing. I did not like it. It required tons of editing on my part. It was spitting out things I had to constantly fact check. And I was like, gosh, this would be easier for me to just write or for me to assign to somebody. And so I gave up on AI for article writing a long time ago. And I have tried it recently too. And I'm like, I do not like what this is writing.
What did you like about it?
It just sounded so mechanical. The style wasn't conversational enough. I like to be very conversational. I could tell it didn't really know what it was talking about. And I had to verify some things that it spits out and it's like not always correct. Yeah. And so I just don't trust it. I'm like, I don't find it to be very trustworthy. And so, but I do as an assistant, you know, like I said, for the ideas or for, you know, headlines, you know, stuff like that, I think it's very powerful and I've used it for that. But for the actual writing, I'm just not sold on it.
That's fair. And there's different ways. Like I'm learning more and more about how to get it to write more in your voice and conversational. Like somebody shared a prompt with me yesterday and it was like, how in the world did you come up with this? And this guy's an industrial engineer. And so like, that's the way his brain works. And I was like blown away, like, holy cow, that you actually come up with this, but it actually works. And so it's just so fascinating that, you know, one can do these types of things. And again, I'm not saying it's a copy and paste sort of thing. Now, if somebody is going to do a niche site and they do want to hire writers, like kind of like to what your process is, and they're like, there's no one's going to specialize in my niche, right? To find a writer that specializes, like, what would you say?
Yeah, so I would think they could use AI, to help them come up with the article, but definitely change it. Go in there and change some paragraphs, make sure it's accurate. But it can be a good tool if you need to spit out a ton of content and you can't find a writer, that can help you do it way faster. So I think a lot of people do use it in that way. And even if they just use it, to come up with the article idea and the headings and the subheadings, it can rapidly make that process go way faster to put up a lot of content on a niche site without like painstakingly writing everything yourself. But yeah, go through, edit it, check it, and make sure it knows what it's talking about.
Now, if we were to go to a site like ProBlogger, Darren's had that site for years and years and years, and we're all excited, but yet we don't find somebody in our niche, what do you recommend doing? If like, all right, I want to find a writer or writers to be able to work on this for me, what do you recommend doing?
I think what I would do is I would try out some other platforms. There's other ones that I have actually used, which one is writeraccess.com, and you have access to so many writers on there. You can put out a casting call, which I've done before, and you can say like, I need writers, and usually a ton of people will apply for that. And I don't know, I guess if a niche is so obscure, like is it really going to make like a really is it going to get enough traffic as a niche website anyway? And so, you want it to be something that will get traffic on Google. So you hope somewhere there's people that know what they're talking about and are within, doing that thing. So
Which is
that's what
what
I
you
would hope.
teach in the course. It's like, all right, is this a profitable niche that you should actually go after?
Exactly. Because it's not going to get traffic. It's too niche. Then you have another problem, is that you won't be getting enough traffic to make a decent, living off of it.
Right. Gotcha. Is there anything that we haven't covered that you think we like definitely needs to be said about creating niche sites? Like, is this for pretty much anybody who is interested in this? Or is there like, it's probably not for, if you're looking at this type of niche, probably not.
Yeah, well, the niche definitely, matters quite a bit. And that's also, I talk about that a lot. Like, what will your niche be? How technical is it? Is it in the medical field? Because if it's in the medical field, you need to be, certified in that area. You can't just start talking about stuff that you're not a, if you're not a doctor or a nurse, like you can't really have a site like that. And that's called, Google is very specific about who can run specific sites. So people need to really think about that. Finance, health and well-being, money, everything in those niches is very complicated. But if it's a casual niche, like something you love to do, a hobby, hiking, backpacking, I don't know, there's so many things out there that can be written about that don't require a degree. And so I think that anybody can really do it if you choose your niche correctly and you love it and you have that determination to make it work, because it takes a while to make a decent living off of it. And so someone has to understand it's not going to be like, I'm going to make tons of money in the first year, because you're probably not, but you will be growing this long-term passive income machine if you keep working on it and trying, even when it gets hard and you're knocked down by Google updates and whatever. But it's possible, I always tell people, if I can do it, you can do it, because I hate web design and I never knew about online business, So if I can do it, really anybody can do it. You just have to want to learn, that's a big thing too.
And you do it in a matter, how many modules did it come out to be? Like eight, your
Yeah.
course?
Eight. Yeah.
Eight
So
modules teaches you step by step, like start to finish.
yeah. Yeah, and they're
$197
very
bucks.
Yeah, and they're bite-sized videos. Someone told me, like, I like your videos are all under 10 minutes, usually around 5. They're very short, so you can like go back and watch it and it's not painful and you're not scrolling through like half an hour of me talking. It's like very specific. And I learned that as a radio news reporter. I had 30 seconds to deliver a story. It's like, get that info out and make it to the point and succinct so people can learn the process. So that was my goal with the course.
That's what it's all about, making it like so that people can get through it in, one session. They can sit down, like, all right, I'm going to do module whatever, two, lesson three now. I'm going to dive right into it. Good to go. I can learn this and go implement. And just so everybody knows where Kristen's at with the course now that she's validated it. Okay, now what? It's like, all right, now we start to market it. Now we start to, and part of what we're looking at now is I don't think there's no need to run ads at this point. Chris and I just talked about this last week from when we're recording this. There's no need to run ads to it at this point because Kristen gets so much traffic to her site that there's segmentation that she can do within the site. And, you know, she's added a money section to the site. So like, you know, if you're looking to make money as a nomad, boom, like this is front and center. And having opt-ins that are relevant to the course that people can opt in for and then go through a, you know, an email sequence and offer the course at 197 is not like you have to do a webinar or anything like that. It's just like there it is. Mm-hmm. And so there's lots of different ways that Kristen's going to be selling this course now that it's created, now that it's validated, without at this point needing ads.
So, yeah, that was surprising when you said that. I was like, oh my gosh, that's so true. Like, I have all this free organic traffic coming in, and just working with you to optimize, you know, what are those opt-ins and what are those email sequences that I can create for pass, because I want this to be another passive income stream. Sure. So yeah, and so that's really exciting to be working on that with just the organic traffic on the site. So that's been fun to learn about.
Awesome. Thank you, Kristen, for coming on and sharing all this. Again, the link for the course is thewaywardhome.com/course. Like I said earlier, I was one of the first people to buy it. And I already have a domain. I don't even know if, I think it's a brilliant domain myself, but I haven't looked into it yet to see if is this a good niche to get into? I think it is, but hey, I got to use the tools that you teach. So
yeah, that's so exciting. I can't wait to see what happens.
Yeah. So thewaywardhome.com is the website. thewaywardhome.com/course is the course URL. Kristen, thank you so much for coming on here. I really appreciate it.
Yeah. And just one thing I want to say is that you are an amazing coach. You know, anyone who's thinking of coming on with you and getting your advice is, I highly recommend. Like, every time I walk away from a coaching session, I'm just so happy. And I'm like, that was so brilliant. I just can't even handle it. So thank you for all your help and advice. And you're phenomenal. So I just appreciate that a great deal. So thank you.
Thanks so much. Appreciate it.
Yeah. Thank you.
All right. Definitely go pick up Kristen's course, thewaywardhome.com/course. All about how to create a niche website. She takes you through step by step. It's less than $200 for the course. And yeah, like I said, I'm doing this myself because I'm really excited about this as a side project, right? And thank you, as always, my friend, for listening to today's episode. If you've not already, make sure to leave a quick rating and review for the show over on Apple Podcasts. It still really helps the show reach more people that we can be helping with the podcast here. And make sure to subscribe also in the process. We have 2 episodes here a week. And so if you're listening on Apple Podcasts, click subscribe. If you're listening on Spotify or whatever, hit that follow button or the plus button so that you don't miss any of the episodes that I do here on the show. And yeah, as always, thank you, my friend, for taking your time to tune in. I do not take your attention lightly. I appreciate you. Until next episode, my friend, be well, and I'll chat with you soon.